This is VK6ARN News West. We are a community organisation and we've been serving up the best amateur radio news in Australia since 1931. Hi there, thanks for tuning to News West for the 10th of September 2023. Now on with the show.
Saturday 7th of October is the annual Waroona Agricultural Show. As people experience entertainment for young and old, animals, log chopping, sideshow alley, farm machinery, wine tasting, food and trade stalls, and a stunning fireworks finale. Peel Amateur Radio Group will be there again this year to demonstrate our hobby to the public from the PARG Mobile Communications Unit. Learn about Winlink, radio fox hunting, and see the capabilities of the PARG Mobile Communications trailer in action. We hope you can join us at the Waroona Show, Saturday, 7th of October, where you can experience a fun day out in the beautiful southwest of Western Australia.
The WA Amateur Radio News Perth Tech Raffle has just ended its first week of sales and we're off to a good start. I'd like to tell you, and probably again, so bear with me, I'd like to tell you why this raffle is different to the usual amateur radio club fundraiser. Because, you see, the proceeds, not one cent of it, do not go towards buying another big, new and... You see, the proceeds, not one cent of it, do not go towards buying anything big, new and shiny for our club. It all gets spent on you, the amateur radio community in Western Australia. It's spent on you because it's the fundraiser that enables us to stage Perth Tech as a freebie for you. Yes, we do charge $25 to attend, and that's a total pass-on cost to the caterers. The rest, the presentations, the amazing venue, the whole setup, is free for you to attend. However, you must register, and the catering fee is not negotiable. The raffle has some great prizes, and after last week's stumble on pronunciation by me, it will do to say that there are three fantastic transceivers up for the prizes, and the tickets are $5 each, and the full details, and make your own pronunciation of the name, on the VK6.net website. Remember that website name, VK6.net. Couldn't be easier, could it? This is the raffle that we'll give back to you. Please support it, both by purchasing tickets and registering to attend Perth Tech. You won't regret either. The website again is vk6.net and I'm Bob, VK6POP.
Clear for up.
This is Martin, VK6 Mike Juliet in Mandurah. PARG is taking to the air in more ways than one. The Sport Aircraft Builders Club of WA is hosting its 50th anniversary celebration and fly-in on the 29th of October at Serpentine Airfield. PARG will be providing public reception of the CTAF frequency of 119.1 MHz AM from our mobile communications trailer at the airfield, and we will be looking for inbound pilots possessing amateur radio licenses who would like to have aeronautical contacts on 146.5 MHz FM. If you are planning to fly into Serpentine for the event, how about connecting your aeroplane's headset into your VHF FM amateur radio rig? We will also be listening on 441.0 MHz FM in the UHF band for amateur automotive mobile check-ins. All communications will be broadcast over our public address system for members of the public to hear incoming aviation and amateur radio transmissions. This is a great opportunity for amateur radio to assist in a community event to demonstrate our hobby. For further details, please see current activities and events on the PARG website, which can be found at www.parg.org.au. This is VK6ARG on final approach for full stop at Serpentine. 7-3.
Hello everyone, this is Clive, VK6CSW,
with a brief report on last Monday's 10-metre propagation trial with Mike VK8MA. Unfortunately, sod really was alive and kicking. 30 minutes before the 28.45 MHz transmission, Mike's QTH in Catherine suffered a lengthy total power failure. To add insult to injury, signals from the Perth 10-metre beacon had been good all the morning, but faded right out a short while before Mike's power failed. Such is life sometimes. However, Mike thanks everyone who listened out for him and hopes that if we can have another try in the not-too-distant future, both the Catherine Power Company and the propagation gods will be more cooperative. Once again, thanks to everyone who did participate. 73 from Clive, VK6, CSW.
Perth Tech runs over the weekend of the 27th to the 29th of October, and the central event is the Day of Technical Presentations on the Saturday, the 28th of October. The venue is the Gidgeganut Recreation Club, which is a modern sporting and recreation facility in the Perth Hills, right in the Gidgeganut village. Perth Tech is a full day of very interesting presentations and, of course, social interaction with other amateurs. At the end of the day, there'll be a sundowner with a simple but delicious barbecue meal accompanied by your beverage of choice purchased from the club's bar. There's a charge of $15 for the sundowner. Now, if that's not enough, we've also arranged for you to bring your caravan, camper or tent to camp over on Friday and Saturday nights. The gates will open at noon Friday and we're expected to vacate by noon Sunday. There's a $15 fee per site per day. This is a pass-on cost to the Recreation Club. Perth Tech is a premier amateur radio symposium, which you shouldn't miss. Registrations are now open. The link is on the vk6.net website. vk6.net. Bookmark it.
Hi, I'm Steve Kennedy, VK6SJ, with this week's episode of Did You Know? This week I thought I might do a deeper dive into Ham College. Ham College was formed in 2007 by Neil Husk, VK6BDO, now Silent Key. Neil was an ex-Navy radio operator who'd been a ham for a long time prior to then. Neil and a small team around him wrote the manual we still use to this day, prepared all the slides, etc., and mostly ran the course single-handedly, including foundation, standard and advanced courses. Another stalwart of the early days was Cathy, VK6KTS, who still stays involved with the college, and we lean on her for professional teaching expertise from time to time. The group uses the facilities of the Linwood Scout Hall at Whaleback Golf Course and also have a club station there assembled, which is used for practical testing as well as the odd contest. My involvement with the college started in 2017 when I turned up to see if I could assist in teaching the advanced and standard courses in some way. It happened to be an AGM and I forgot to stand back when everyone else did and ended up president on my first visit. A few months later, Neil embarked on a long-term and much-anticipated Around Australia holiday and I took over as the main presenter for the advanced and standard course. The first year was pretty good and quite easy, but all my students were engineers, so I think I ended up learning more than they did. One of them was Randall, VK6 Whiskey Romeo, who stayed on to assist in teaching and is now the main man for the advanced course. The next 2 years were a lot rougher, with the third year I was involved in the course having a really poor result. At that point, a bunch of new blood came into the committee. We split the teaching up across about 8 instructors, all under the watchful eye of Randall, and we had an immediate improvement in attendance and exam passes. This same format is still in place today and our pass rate is generally around 100% or very close to that. Most years see at least one student stay on to either assist in instructing or just get more involved in the group, which is very satisfying. So what is Ham College doing? We run a combined advanced standard course once a year, generally starting in March and completing in October or November. In addition, we run a foundation course every 2 months, normally attracting between 6 and 10 students. And we've also run ad hoc foundation courses for community groups, both face-to-face and across Zoom. Between the two programs, we're responsible for bringing between 70 and 100 new hams into the hobby each year. With the advanced course, while there are a few different and very valid ways to study for and pass the exam, some much quicker than our course, we've found that the methods we're using provide a good depth of knowledge that's allowed many of our members to become very competent hams. So at this point in time, Ham College has more than its fair share of doers. From running courses and exams, building a new 2-metre beacon, managing the IT system that's so important to the quality of our course, and keeping the club station on air and operational, the culture of the club is very healthy. It's a single-mindedly focused on its core business of educating new and upgrading hams, and we have a great camaraderie amongst the members. So what next? We've often spoken about running more postgrad style courses like CW, digital modes, workshops, etc. But our issue is that if we take these kind of ventures on, we could run the risk of burning out our core group of instructors. We could do this if we had more volunteers to spread the load, and we would love to hear from anyone interested in becoming more involved in the college to carry out additional courses. We'd also love to have more engagement with all the various clubs in the Perth metro area, even if we are just assisting in clubs doing their own courses using our intellectual property. Another area we would love to engage more with is the scouting and guide movement. We see these movements as being the future of the hobby, without which we believe the hobby could be in trouble without. We do offer free foundation courses to scouts and guides, including their leaders, to aid in fostering this relationship, and would welcome any groups wishing to use our services to gain licences. If you're interested in learning more about Ham College, either as a student, instructor, or volunteering your services to assist the college, you can contact us via our website, hamcollege.org.au. We'd love to hear from you. Oh, thanks for listening again. This has been Steve, VK6SJ, with another episode of Did You Know? If you'd like a text copy of this or any other articles, they will be posted to my blog page at dxradiosystems.com.au about 2 weeks after it's gone to air.
This is NewsWest from VK6ARN, produced by amateurs for amateurs, purely about the hobby of amateur communication and experimentation.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. Before we start, I should give you fair warning. There are many moving parts in what I'm about to discuss, and there's lots of numbers coming. Don't stress too much about the exact numbers. In essence, what I'm attempting is to explore how we can reduce the power output from a transmitter in such a way that it doesn't blow up a receiver, whilst making sure that the signal is strong enough that we can actually measure it. With that in mind, recently I discussed the idea of adding a series of attenuators to a transmitter to reduce the power output by a known amount, so you could connect it to a receiver and use that to measure output power at various frequencies. One hurdle to overcome is the need to handle enough power in order to stop magic smoke from escaping. None of my attenuators are capable of handling more than 1 or 2 watts of power, so I cannot use any of them as the first in line. As it happens, a good friend of mine, Glyn, Victor Kilo 6 Papa Alpha Whiskey, dropped off a device that allows you to divert most of the power into a dummy load and a small amount into an external connector, in effect creating an inline attenuator capable of handling 50 watts. The label doesn't specify what the attenuation is, so I measured it using a nano VNA. To make our job a little interesting, it isn't constant. Between 10 kHz and 1 GHz, the attenuation decreases from 70 dB to 10 dB. We want to measure at a base frequency on the 2-metre band and its second and third harmonic. The attenuation at those frequencies varies by 11 dB, which means we'll need to take that into account. So, let's subject our currently imaginary test setup to some sanity checking. Our receiver is capable of reading sensible numbers between a signal strength of minus 127 dBm and minus 67 dBm, and we'll need to adjust accordingly. If we transmit an actual 20-watt carrier, that's 43 dBm, with 110 dB of attenuation, we end up at minus 67 dBm, which is right at the top end of what we think the receiver will handle. If we're using something like 5 watts, or 37 dBm, we end up at minus 73 dBm, which is well above the minimum detectable signal. Our best harmonic measurement was around minus 30 dBm, which means that with 110 dB of attenuation, we end up at minus 140 dBm, which is 13 dB below what we think we can detect. So at this point, you might wonder if this is still worth our while, given that we're playing at the edges. And to that I say, remind me again why you're here? First, we need to attenuate our 20 watts down to something useful, so we don't blow stuff up. Starting with 110 dB attenuation, we can measure our base carrier frequency and its harmonics and learn just how much actual power is coming out of the transmitter. Once we know that, we can adjust our attenuation to ensure that we end up at the maximum level for the receiver and see what we are left with. So, let's look at some actual numbers. Mind you, we're just looking at calculated numbers. These aren't coming from an actual dongle yet. Using Glynn's dummy load as the front end, at 146.5 MHz, the attenuation is about 30 dB. If we look at a previously measured handheld and rounding the numbers, it produced 37 dBm. That's the maximum power coming into our setup. With 30 dB of attenuation from Glynn's dummy load, that comes down to 7 dBm. We'll need an additional 74 dB of attenuation to bring that down to minus 67 dBm. In all, we'll need 104 dB of attenuation. The third harmonic for that radio was measured at minus 26 dBm. So, with 104 dB of attenuation, that comes out at minus 130 dBm, which is below the minimum detectable signal supported by our receiver. However, remember that I told you that our dummy load has different attenuation for different frequencies? In our case, the attenuation at 439.5 MHz is only 19 dB, not 30. So, in actual fact, we'd expect to see a reading of minus 119 dBm, which is above the minimum detectable signal level. I realise that's a lot of numbers to digest, and they're specific to this particular radio and dummy load. But they tell us that this is possible, and that we're potentially going to be able to measure something meaningful using our receiver. I'll also point out that if you're going to do this, it would be a good idea to take notes and prepare what numbers you might expect to see, because letting the magic smoke escape might not be one of your desired outcomes. Speaking of smoke, what happens if you consider changing the attenuation when you're measuring at another frequency, like say the second or third harmonic, and you see a reading close to or perhaps even below the detectable signal level as we've just discussed? You might be tempted to reduce the attenuation to increase the reading, but you need to remember that the transmitter is still actually transmitting at full power into your setup, even if you're measuring elsewhere. This is why, for some radios, you'll see a measurement that states that the harmonics are below a certain value, because the equipment used doesn't have enough range to provide an actual number. To simplify my life, using a NanoVNA, I created a spreadsheet with 101 data points from the attenuation levels of Glynn's dummy load, between 10 kHz and 1 GHz. I charted it, and with the help of the inbuilt trendline function, determined a formula that matched the data. I've also skipped over one aspect that needs mentioning, and that's determining if the receiver you're using to do this is actually responding in the same way for every frequency. One way you might determine if that's the case is to look at what happens to the signal strength across multiple frequencies using a dummy load as the antenna. One tool, RTL_power, might help in that regard. Is this going to give you the same quality readings as a professional piece of equipment? Well, do the test and tell me what you learn. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima, Alpha Bravo.
On HF, VHF and UHF, via the VK6 linked repeater network, and online, this is News West from VK6 ARN.
Good morning, it's Helpline 2023 for the 10th of September. This is Roy VK6 X-Ray Victor with this week's Helpline, much the same as last week. In fact, we have an NGT AR voice with cradle, speaker, microphone cable, power cable and fused unit. Cable has been shortened with GPS, and there's a 9350 auto-tune antenna. Control cable has been shortened, and tow bar antenna mount. Spring and stainless steel whip, and all in good condition. contact Colin, VK6 Charlie India, on 0417 097 043, and it is equipped with Austravel frequencies at the moment. That's the Austravel safety net, travellers net. Next item, we have Kenwood TS450S Sierra for sale, excellent condition, asking $700, by Wayne, VK6 November Whiskey. His phone number is 0499 450 505. 0499 450 505. That's Wayne, VK6 November Whiskey. Next item, we have a Halicrafters HT33 linear amplifier, $350. A Daiwa controller rotator, $350. A vacuum tube voltmeter, $50. Contact Barry, VK6 Alpha Delta India, on his email, bravo.juliet.burns, that's Bravo Uniform Romeo November Sierra at bigpond.com. His mobile phone number, 0428 959 771, 0428 959 771. And the last item today, I have a Forum at Yagi antenna, 10, 15 and 20 metres, dual driven elements, 4 metre boom with boom extension, $250 a lot. It's by Ted Mtron. You may contact Gavin for that on contact 0428 388 531, 0428 388 531. That's VK6 Victor Kilo Sierra Gavin. And how we have a Kenwood TS480 hotel x-ray, immaculate condition, 200 watts output, original box, manual programming cable, can be used with computer software, and a USB pan adapter as well, ideal for radio or mobile. Have manual and all cables and microphone. On-air reports welcome. Contact Jesse, VK6 Juliet Quebec, on 0437 789 246, 0437 789 246, for that Kenwood 480 hotel x-ray. That's me for this week. I'm going down to Narrogin for the Austravel AGM today. And you all have a good weekend. And this is Roy, VK6 X-ray Victor, now concluding and saying 7-3. Cheers.
Hi there, I'm Clinton, VK6 FCRC, and I'd like to thank our News West team of volunteers and broadcasters each week, and those regularly submitting content each week. I'd also like to thank our readers and you for listening. Please stand by now for callbacks after the ident. Or if nobody is taking callbacks, please fill out the form on the VK6.net website so we know how many people are listening or reading News West each week.